You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. The title of today's message is Worship While You Work. Many years ago, when I was a teenager and I was driving like teenagers normally do, which isn't too good, and I remember it was a rainy day in Florida, like many days are, and I wasn't listening to the warning signs. And there was a particular exit ramp that was by my house, and you know, kind of clover leafed, and I was going way faster than a person should go, particularly in the kind of car I was driving. And I remember that my car started spinning out of control, going down the exit ramp. It was a "and Jesus take the wheel" kind of moment, right? I mean, just spinning around, and you're just thinking, "Man, I'm in trouble." And fortunately, I remember just coming off into the grass, and was no worse for wear. But those warning signs are there for a reason. They want you to slow down so you can not do those sort of things. But I didn't listen. The warning signs are given to protect us, to keep us on the right path. And God has similar reasons for why he warns us about things in Scripture. God's not some sort of a killjoy that says, "Hey man, fun and enjoyment, that's not for the Christian people." No, that's not what the Bible says at all. But that God does give us warnings in Scripture to keep us from harming ourselves, harming other people, and robbing ourselves of God's good blessing. Believe it or not, that we are about to begin the year 2020. Can you believe that? 2019. I just started writing that on my checks just last month, right? And before you know it, it's 2020. Man, it goes by fast. We have a new year, new opportunities, new challenges. And God wants us to prioritize the things he says matters. He warns us, be careful, because as in our own personal lives and as a church, we have a tendency to prioritize things that don't matter. And so we must reorient ourselves regularly to God's truth and God's plans and purposes and priorities. So let's see what this passage says. What God says is important in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. If you don't have a Bible, we've got some in the chairs in front of you. Verse 10. "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it." Now this is the Apostle Paul who is writing this letter. Said, "Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." So let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your goodness to us. Lord, truly you are a great God. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us to remove distractions from our minds, and that we could worship you through the Word at this very moment. but help us to understand what you think is important. Help us to obey. Father, help me to decrease and you to increase. The Holy Spirit speak. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So point number one is that we are to build on a strong foundation. We see this in verses 10 through 11. Now, just to give a little bit of context here in verses 1 through 9, and we see some of this these problems appearing in other places, in earlier parts of Corinthians, but we see divisions are happening in the Corinthian church, that some are saying that I follow Peter, and some are saying, well, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, and they were saying, hey, these are the guys that I think are important, and I'm important because I'm associated with them. These people wanted personalities, not pastors. But don't get me wrong, I think Apollos and Peter and Paul, even says it directly here, that, man, if you're building your life on people and personalities, you're building it on the wrong things. And so that's the context of what this passage is talking about. So look at verse 10 with me. So it's Paul, the Apostle Paul writes, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. Someone else is building on it. It says, but the grace that was given to me, kingdom work can only be accomplished with kingdom power. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, that's great. You can follow all these other people, but you have to understand it is Christ working in me that gives me any power to do what I need to do. Amen, church? I know you had a lot of eggnog these last couple days. I know that you had just stuffed to the rafters with things you shouldn't be, but let's wake up a little bit, right? Nobody wants to see here bored out of our minds, right? So he says, I can only do kingdom work with kingdom power. I can only do what God wants me to do with Christ working and living in me. So he said, don't give me the credit. Don't follow me. I'm just a man. It is God working in me. And that's true, absolutely true in us. If we want to do kingdom work, we can only do it with kingdom power. I have something to illustrate this. You guys have seen me wear this a couple times. You don't have to wear this a whole lot in Tucson, but you sure had to wear it this morning, right? It was a little chilly. That snow looked kind of nice. This is a jacket. Was the skin of a lamb a long time ago, but it has no life now. As they move a jacket. Nothing. Flap. Jacket. Nothing. Put your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. Wait a minute. Nothing. Lifeless. What happens when you put life in it? All those things can happen, right? The jacket. Not to get myself tangled up. Move, jacket. Clap, jacket. Put your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. I'm not going to do that, but I got. Animated. Why? Because life has been put inside. We want to do kingdom work. We've got to have kingdom power. You want to accomplish things for God and for His kingdom, you must have Christ living in you. You must have Him empowering the work that you do. And as believers, that is our heart. Apostle Paul recognized this. He said, I recognize I have no ministry that I can do. You and I have no ministry that we can do in our workplaces, through this church and our families, apart from Christ working in us. Paul says, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. So we know that the Apostle Paul planted churches and then he passed the baton to other people, that he would get there and he would get converts, and then he would raise them up and disciple them, and then he would move on. That was his gifting. The Apostle Paul didn't stick around. He moved all around Asia and Europe and did the Lord's work, but he always passed it on. He said that he was a master builder. The word is architect that we have in our own language. And so he said, I built all these churches and I built all these people, not for my glory, but for Christ. When you build a house, the foundation is essential. You put up the frame and the walls and the plumbing, electricity, all those things are crucial. The foundation must be laid. It must be strong. The type of foundation you lay determines what else that you can build on it. The Apostle Paul understood that. He said, I've built here, and other people have built on top of my house. The kingdom work is collaborative work. That there's no lone rangers in kingdom work. And even the lone ranger had Tonto. Right? So we all work together. Kingdom work is collaborative work. That you build on someone's lives and someone else comes along that and builds on top of that, and people build into you as you build into them. Collaborative work. But he says, but let each one take heed. He said, warning. Pay attention. Red lights are flashing. Pay attention to how you build. It says, let each one take heed. They build the foundation on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and his gospel is what the Christian life is built on. That's what you and I build everything else on in our life, is that Jesus has saved us. It's the good news of the gospel. That's what everything this church is about. Everything is secondary to Jesus Christ and his gospel. It's built on this foundation, which isn't to say that other things aren't important, because they absolutely are. But nothing is more foundational and important than Jesus Christ and his gospel. Workers are important, but the foundation is essential. People build on poor foundations all the time, don't they? People build on friends, family, money, selves, careers. And those things aren't evil in themselves, but friends, when those are the foundation, you are ripe for crumbling. And we've seen it crumble in our friends' lives. When their family disappears, when their career disappears, when their money disappears, and their foundation is shaken. Make sure your values, make sure your heart, make sure your life is built on Christ. See, when he is your foundation, no storm can overtake you. No thief can steal what you possess, and no fear can conquer you. No enemy can defeat you, because Christ is your foundation. And he is an unshakable foundation. So build on a strong foundation. The Apostle Paul warns us, says, be careful on building on other foundations. Be careful on what you place under your the soles of your feet. Be careful. Everything else is sinking sand. So build on a strong foundation, which is Christ. Now look at verse 12 with me. Now it says, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest. The day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. You see, what you build with can be as important as what you build on. What you build with can be as important as what you build on. We got to make sure we're building with the right materials. So in this passage, gold, silver, precious stones refers to dedicated spiritual service. It's permanent, it's valuable, and it can be hard sometimes. And it's always about Christ's glory. I don't know if you noticed, but gold, silver, and precious stones are hard to come by. The reason why they're precious is because you got to dig for them. That not everybody has them. They take effort to get. It says, build on these things. Build a life that leads to Christ's glory and not your own. But look at the other building material. He says, there are wood, hay, and straw. And I think in the context of this passage, it's talking about selfish, worthless work, shallow. It's temporary. It's just for this life and our pressing needs. Cheap. And it's easy. Now, notice I never said sinful in any of those things. I don't think it's talking about building and doing wrong and evil things, which are wrong and evil and we should stay away from. But this is the idea of building a life of meaninglessness. A life that is worthless. Building our life on entertainment. Building our life on things that don't matter. Building our life on things that just focus, begin, and end in this world and have no impact on the kingdom. Building a life where I receive the glory, where I look good, where I get all the attention, where I point it all to me, where it's a life built on selfishness, a me-first life. These lives are cheap and easy. When I was a little kid, and maybe you did this too, we would get, I would ask my mom about, go by the store when we get refrigerator boxes. You ever play with refrigerator boxes, or that's just a weird thing that we did in Florida? I don't know. And so you'd build these big boxes, and you'd get them from the store, right? And you could do a bunch of fun stuff with them. You could cut out little doors in them, and we'd put them in our backyard, and we'd color them up and make them look like houses, and they were fun, and we'd go in and out, but they didn't last very long. Like I said earlier, it rains all the time in Florida. It's humid all the time in Florida. And so before long that the rain would fall on those cardboard boxes, and they'd become stinking and soggy, and these are poor excuses for houses, and the neighbors were never particularly happy about us building these things in the backyard either, but they didn't last. They were cheap. They were easy. They weren't made for anything other than the moment. And a lot of people, they're building their lives. They spend all of their time, all their priority, all their values, all their interests go to things that are just in this life and have no impact on other people in positive spiritual ways. They have no impact on God's kingdom in eternity. Just this life. Look what it says in verse 13. And I hope y'all are listening. I've reflected on this passage for many, many years. And this passage centers me. This passage floors me. This passage rebukes me many times. Because my heart wants to go for the things of this world sometimes. That's worth being reoriented through Scripture. Look at verse 13. Does each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. Capital D, day. This is referring to the judgment seat of Christ. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. This isn't just any kind of particular day. This is a special day designed by God from the foundations of the earth. We as believers will be brought before Jesus. And look what he says will be happen. It says that our work will be revealed by fire. You see, fire has many roles in Scripture. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is presented as a fire or as a flame. Sometimes fire represents judgment. Sometimes fire represents purification. And I think in this passage, fire represents testing. That God will test the quality of our work, not because God doesn't know, but because so that we will know. The brothers and sisters, that you and I will be held accountable for our actions. Now, I want to be crystal clear on this part. That this is not the great white throne judgment. We are not being rewarded. We're not being examined for salvation in this judgment. The Bible says that if you accept Jesus Christ, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the church says, amen. Amen. So our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future, and we praise God for that. All the sins that we've ever done have been covered in the blood of Jesus Christ for those who have trusted Jesus and placed their faith in Him. So when believers go before Jesus Christ at this particular judgment, it's not for salvation. Hey, did I do enough good stuff to make my way into heaven? That's not what it's talking about here at all. Are y'all with me, church? That completely nullifies grace. That's not what I'm talking about here at all. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace says, I give even though you give nothing back. So this is not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about reward. That you and I will be held accountable for our actions, for reward or the lack thereof. See, we build people by pointing them to Jesus, by helping them grow, by loving and serving others, by giving the abilities and the time and the treasures that God has given us, by seeking God's glory in the things that we do and not our own. And look at the end of this passage. Look at verse 15. That if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as though through fire. He said, many are going to get to heaven smelling a little smoky. That's, I think, what he's saying. And brothers and sisters, I see this all the time. I see Christians who live just for this life, which is easy to do. I recognize that because your friends just live for this life. Commercials and TV and media says just live for this life. But you have to tune those out and listen to what God says. He says what you live here is just a brief moment. It's a vapor. It's grass withering in the wind. It says it's minute. Is what we do for kingdom work lasts eternally. So friends, if you're just investing in this life, you're investing poorly. But we want to make sure we're building on a foundation of Jesus Christ that lasts eternally. But there is reward, heavenly reward, for those who do God's work, God's way. We've got to make sure we're building with the right materials. Can I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to listen to the loving warning of God? Don't waste this coming year. We're about to be in 2020. That's shocking to me. Think of the opportunities that you've had in 2019. Have you shared the gospel with people, your friends, your family, co-workers? Have you told them about our great God? Have you invested in kingdom work and in kingdom life? New Year's is a great, great time to reevaluate our lives. Yeah, you know what? I need to fix some of the physical. I got on a scale yesterday. I wasn't real happy about that, okay? I got some stuff I've got to reevaluate in my life. That's okay. That's all right to invest partially in this world. But I can evaluate what I've done this year, not what I wanted to do, what I cried about and felt like sometimes, but what did I do for God's kingdom? There's been good and there's been not so good. So God, give me the strength. Give me the power. Do more. Help me stay focused on your kingdom. It's easy not to. We can only build in God's kingdom, or we can build in ours. Those are the only kingdoms available. Make sure you're building the right one. What you do for Christ will last. What you do for yourself and the things of this life go up in flames. As we move into the invitation time today, this is the challenge of God's Word. I encourage you, friends, to make sure you prioritize God's kingdom this year with your time, your talents, and your treasures, making sure that we are giving all that we have to God. God, I want to make church a priority for my family this year. Can you be a Christian and not go to church? Yeah, absolutely. You can be married and not live at your house, but I'm telling you, it's going to hurt the relationship. I want to make God's work, God's church, a priority, and not just showing up here, but I want to find a place that I can serve at. I've got gifts and abilities, and I want to plug in. I want to serve faithfully. Prioritize that this year, your times and your talents and your treasures. Give to the work of the Lord. Make sure your heart is in tune with what God cares about. Like I love football, and I get excited and I get worked up over all those things, and that's all fine and good. I'm not saying God's not a killjoy. But there's things that are far more important than that. Than the next car, the next house, the next job. There's things far more important than that. Kingdom work. You need to make sure that we're doing it. I want to care about the things that God cares about. Amen, church? I want to care about souls. You know what God cares about? He cares about souls. More than anything else, our God cares about souls, the souls of people. The rich ones, the poor ones, the good ones, the bad ones. He cares about all souls. So I want to care about souls. I want to prioritize souls in my life. I want to be embarrassed and uncomfortable if I have to have conversation because people have souls. I want that to be the priority of Sabina Road, not just activity with no purpose, but because we care about souls, because God cares about souls. Friend, I don't know about your soul today. I know there's many believers here, many people that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe what you need to get your straight, your life straight, is to make sure you're right with God. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? When you've given Him your heart, when you've placed your faith in Him, that you've asked for His forgiveness, you've turned from your sin, you said, Jesus, I want You to rule my life. Have you ever done that? If you haven't, man, this is a great time to start. Every day, any Sunday, any day is a great day to give your life to the Lord. So don't leave here unsure of where you'll spend eternity. We'll start singing here in a moment after I pray. Please come forward. I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. We had somebody do that just last Sunday. Somebody trusted Jesus. Amen. It's the most exciting, the most important, the most valuable thing that this church can do is lead people to Jesus Christ. Have you trusted Jesus? Say, man, I'm a pastor. Coming forward is just, I just can't do that. Make sure you talk with me or somebody else before you leave or fill out one of the cards we have in the chairs in front of you and put it in the boxes. But don't leave here unsure of where you'll spend eternity because you'll spend it somewhere. In heaven with God or in hell apart from Him. What happens in this life affects what we do in eternity. So let's pray, church. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. God, we reflect on how You have been faithful in our life in 2019. The miracles that You have answered. Your presence being near us in very difficult times of loss. Doing things that we didn't think that could be done that you've done in your power. So God, we worship you today. We give you praise and we give you glory. And I pray in this invitation time that you'd help us to reflect. God, you'd help us to prioritize in our heart the things that you value. Forgive us where we falter and make mistakes and get busy and get distracted, do wrong. Help us be kingdom people. And Lord, I pray for those who do not know you. They've never trusted you as their Savior. They're lost. God, I pray that you would work in their hearts this very moment. God, they would sense their need for you in their lives. Father, we love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name.